I finally decided that I was going to have the courage to really live for myself. Funny enough, it was December 31st. It was New Year's Eve. But I knew in my heart I was spiritually dead. I was physically just exhausted. Mentally and emotionally, I was a mess. There is that courage. But sometimes that pain needs to be so loud in order for you to actually cause the greatest change in your life. The courage of me stepping up into play when my mom passed away. The courage of me dropping everything when we had zero idea my brother was going to collapse and have an asthma attack a year later after my mom passed away. I just think that I was afraid to really show me. And for me, the biggest thing was, how do I save face? How do I not get judged?
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for deciding to listen to this episode. Thank you for making a conscious decision to be open to learn and improve in order to lead a better life. And even though I have a big mission to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams, right now, you are the most important person to me. I love meeting incredible human beings and sharing their amazing life journeys. My job is to listen, ask the right questions, and challenge the status quo. This week, I have the honor of sitting down with a woman who walked through fire and came out stronger on the other side. She lost her mom, she lost her dad, and she lost her brother. She was in an abusive marriage and had a $1 million business that didn't fulfill her. Although she was experiencing all this on the inside, on the outside, it looked like she was in a great marriage, living in a beautiful house, and running a great business. Somewhere along the line, she found the courage to leave the old behind, start over, and take control of her life in order to find love and help others. Let's welcome the amazing author and leadership coach, Nida Bhushan. Welcome, Nida. I still didn't get that.
It's okay.
Last name.
It's good.
Perfect.
It's good.
It's good enough?
It's good enough. Yeah. There's like an H in there. There should be like a silent H in my name. It's pronounced Nitha, but you did it well.
Nitha.
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 Bhushan.
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 Yeah.
I always want to say it correct because I told you my last name is so difficult.
Yeah, it's like you have to have a hyphen, like a phonetically spelled out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even that doesn't work. So I always try to respect other people's name because it tells you a story in a way, right?
It's all good though, because I think it took me like until my late 20s to actually correct people, because when I grew up, everyone said, Nida Bhushan, Nida Bhushan. So
it's all good.
You brought me back to my roots.
Cool. And yeah, as I told you before we started, I'm super grateful to be here with you. I'm reading your book, Emotional Grit, right now.
Yay!
Loving it. And I always love reading a book when someone shares so open-heartedly. And in the first couple of pages, you shared like your loss of your family members, like living in an abusive marriage and like having a business and having this beautiful life on the outside, but there's something going on the inside that doesn't feel good. So can we just start by kind of talking about that? And what was the worst day of your life and how did it change you?
Ooh, the worst day of my life. That's a great point. I feel like I thought I had a lot of worse days, but I think that, one that I will share is, it was probably one of my darkest moments, and it was, I remember it so vividly, but it was also a huge turning point in my life where I finally decided that I was going to have the courage and the courage to really live for myself. And it was, funny enough, it was December 31st. It was New Year's Eve. And I just recall being in my master bedroom of this, I don't know, if at this point now, four-story home. I was living in Chicago at the time. Four-story home because there was a rooftop. So maybe five stories if you want to count the basement.
That counts.
But who's counting? And I just, I felt like, you know, I was getting text messages from friends. You know, are you going out tonight? It's December 31st, and this was 2011. And for me, I was staring at the mirror, and I remember so vividly that I was just in shock. I was in panic mode. I was in so much fear. And I knew that there was something that was going to come. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew something was going to come. Because it was December 31st, and I was just looking at the mirror, thinking into my head, how did I get here? Like, you look all around, and I had everything that I had wanted. I was not even 30 years old. Like I said, I was living in this really amazing home, this dream home of mine, and I was married. But I knew that at that point, like, I could no longer be living this lie that I was so ashamed of. And that was that I was in this toxic marriage. I was in this abusive marriage and this relationship where it had really isolated me. And so I literally was thinking in the back of my head, if I don't do anything, what would happen? And so, and there was actually a little voice in my head. It was from one of my girlfriends who had noticed an incident. And it's probably one of the few places that I'm going to share this, but because there are several different accounts to the story that I'm going to share. But I remember my girlfriend saying, "Neetha, you can continue to walk this way, or you can be just like my parents, where my mom still tippy-toes around my father, and they've been married 30 years. And for me, being South Asian, for me, being Indian and Filipino, for me, you know, growing up to immigrant parents where there's a taboo of marriage, of divorce, there's a taboo of, you know, going against the grain, doing things that aren't socially acceptable. But I knew in my heart I was spiritually dead. I was physically just exhausted. Mentally and emotionally, I was a mess. But I had my girlfriend, and her name was Jagu, I had her thoughts in the back of my head. And so I knew that at that point I rushed and I gathered as much of my things as I possibly could, and I left. I called my brother. I finally told my aunt who had raised me the entire situation, the entire story, because from the outside at that moment, if anybody were to look at my life, December 31st, 2011, they would think that she had the picture-perfect life. Because up until then, it was, oh, Neetha is an orphan. She had gone through so much already in her life. She had lost her mother and her father and her brother. And so for all of this time, I had all of this, these chips on my shoulders that I had something to prove, that I had to prove my worth. But it was only then in my car that evening when I finally left that entire life and everything, that I had worked so hard for, but to finally focus on me. I mean, my soul was screaming out for just me to do me for the first time. And that was the turning point that shifted everything.
First of all, thank you for sharing this so open-heartedly. And I think we all have our stories, right? And what you went through, so heartbreaking. But to find that courage. I just want to talk about courage for a moment, because there's people listening right now that might go through the same thing, right? They're supposed to be happy. They're supposed to have it all, but they're bleeding on the inside, right? They're empty. So what do you want to say to those people? What, like, how do you find that courage? Because I guess December 31st was that day you took that step, but it's probably a lot of small steps leading up to being fed up or...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, courage is also preceded by, you're absolutely right, all of the little nuggets, all of the little things that finally for me, it was, you know, it was in my situation, it was the last time he would lay a hand on me. It was the last time I would go to my therapist's office and he would ask, are you sure you want to continue this? So it was also, you know, there's a difference between the pain is there. Whatever pain you're going through in your life, whether it's a heartbreak, whether it's a loss, whether it's trauma, whether it's a betrayal, whether it's a business failure, a financial setback, you know, there's that pain that really nudges us. But sometimes for us to really go into the fork in the road and make the decision between staying in something and maybe something that's not working out, or the painful decision to leave or put the business away or start something brand new, there is that courage. But sometimes that pain needs to be so loud in order for you to actually cause the greatest change in your life. Because we as human beings, we don't like change. Right? But it takes that change in order to nudge us, in order to, you know, really flex our muscles and do something completely different. Because we know that at the end of that, there's that courage. And at the end of that courage, that's where immense growth happens.
Yeah.
So for people that are listening who are going through that, you know that there is that immense growth that is waiting for you at the other side of the tunnel. And it was something that I grew up with, because I did have to grow up very early. I grew up at the age of 10 when my mother was first diagnosed with breast cancer. And in between the ages of 10 and 19, I would see more loss than people see basically in their lifetimes,
yeah.
Right? So losing my mother at 16 and watching her, you know, go through that entire journey and be that caretaker for her, assuming all of her responsibilities and growing up so early, so fast. Of course, all of those lessons had really shaped me into becoming an entrepreneur because I had to have life skills. I had to support my family. I had to hustle.
Yeah.
I had to hustle. I was born and raised in Chicago. I was city girl. I had to hustle to help my father, who was an immigrant Indian man who really, you know, who really relied on his wife to, you know, help raising us three children. And so I had many of those points of resilience, many of those points in my journey that really tested my courage. The courage of me stepping up into play when my mom passed away, the courage of me dropping everything when we had zero idea my brother was going to collapse and have an asthma attack a year later after my mom passed away, which threw my dad into this depression, as you can obviously imagine. But it was instances after trauma where you would think that it would just beat somebody down. I mean, I had every excuse.
Yeah.
But there is that sense of that courage where, I mean, if it wasn't for the installation of my parents' programming, the Asian programming of, nope, you got to succeed, you got to get up, you got to get up, you got to get up. I don't know if I would be here sitting next to you today. So, definitely for me, courage came in the form of so many incredible nuggets. But when it mattered so much was December 31st.
Yeah. I mean, you're so strong. Yeah. And it's incredible. And what I've seen during my research here is that the happiest people, they are aligned. Their inside and the outside are aligned. And they show up in the world and they dare to be judged, even if it's scary. But they say, here I am. And that I think that's the hardest part of life. Like my idol said, Bruce Lee, to honestly express oneself as a human being. Mm. I'm curious, like, can you talk about this journey to 45 countries? And like, what did you learn from these leaders? And just in short, and then of course they need to read the book Emotional Grit to get the full picture, but let's just share a little bit from that.
Yeah, so I think the biggest takeaway from, you know, the different places that I was at and basically the interviews that I had with so many different leaders from all walks of life. And when I say leaders, I'm not just talking about top leaders. I'm also talking about leaders of households, single mom of two, people living in different villages that are just community builders and community gatherers. But all of them had one thing for certain. All of them viewed success and the characteristics in order to build that, whatever it looked like, whatever success looked like, all of them had resilience, how to rise up from challenges. How do you bounce back from challenges in your life? Which is why a lot of my work is around building resilient leaders. And of course, you know, writing the book Emotional Grit, because grit and resilience obviously go hand in hand. And so, which has informed me on the work that that I do now. But it's really about, you know, understanding the stories of our life and how do we actually make better decisions because we are more aware. Because the process of grit, as I talk about in the book, is not just grit as, you know, the tenacity and how do you stick with things when things are tough. I'm talking about it as also an acronym. And the acronym of really how to harness that emotional intelligence every day. And it's how to grow, reveal, innovate, and transform. And so, you know, the first process or the first step to that is to be aware. On December 31st, that was when I was self-aware for the first time, really thinking about myself. That was where my awareness was, that I deserve better, that I could actually leave. And you know what? I'm going to be okay. That's not going to be so bad, even though, yes, I was scared out of my mind. But you have that self-awareness, and that is the one thing. When you give that to somebody, you can't unknow anything, right? What we know now, we can't go back to not knowing. And that is the growth part. That's when you're aware. Next is the revelation, or when you're ready to reveal, right? The acceptance. When you accept where you are at. On December 31st, I accepted where I was at. I accepted that I was emotionally distraught. I accepted that I was spiritually dead. I accepted that physically I was in a bad place. Acceptance. So we need to accept where we are at in order to turn a new leaf, in order to turn a new page in our life, which causes the innovation. So, or commitment to change, which then we get to the T, or transformation, based on the action steps that we take. Yeah.
I mean, it's so cool what you have done and created this. And when I was reading your book, I always love, because I'm an author myself, mm-hmm. I've written mm-hmm. 4 books, and yeah. I'm working on ideas for another one. So it's always so fun to see like how, like, it's so much work and hours of like thinking about this, but also a whole life story. So I want to talk about emotional intelligence, because I'm a martial artist, and I think emotional intelligence is so important. And as a fighter, we are a lot of times in very high pressure situations that also happen in life. How do we carry ourselves, and how are we calm in these situations? I just, like an example, as a lot of times when I walk into a room, I can see and spot if someone is sad, if someone is without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's emotional intelligence, but I think it's an awareness of doing this for a very long time. So can you just tap into, like, what is emotional intelligence, and how do we get better at that?
Yeah, it's, you know, emotional intelligence is really, it is now replacing IQ. To be in tune with the feelings of yourself, but also the feelings of others, like the other perspective, for you understanding and knowing the different emotions in the room when you first walk into a room, that's also your intuition as well. But it's also being empathetic, which is also one of the characteristics that I have researched and talk about in the book, is leaders who have empathy or embrace empathy also have emotional, or they're more emotionally intelligent, because of the fact that they are able to see the perspective on the other side of the table. Because so many of us, day in and day out, we're so worried about us. We're so worried about ourselves. We're so worried, oh my gosh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And so you bump into somebody, so you cut somebody off, so somebody takes your place in line at Starbucks, and you get really angry. But what if we go the extra mile and we have empathy for that person to see what they are going through, to see the person that cut you off, what fight they had, or the person that wrote a terrible comment or trolled on your social media, what's going on in their mind? You know, we're so quick to judge. We're so quick to have a reaction. But that is emotional intelligence, to really look at the big picture, to really look at the other person's perspective.
Yeah. And what drives you to do all these things, instead of just having a J-O-B?
Yeah, well, I think that for me, it has really been the ability to add value to other people's lives. Value that I could create with either the words that I say, with the things that I create, so that I can, one of our mottos, and I wear this on my wrist every day, is to serve love. And we do this in our business, we do this in every single project, whatever we take on, whether it's a book, you know, whether it's a talk that I'm giving, a workshop that we're doing, or even inside of our programs, it's just to serve love. And, you know, how can I do that as a leader every single day? Yeah. And that's what lights me up. I'm one of those that I love to have. I seek variety a lot of times, but I also need structure. And so if I can do that in the, you know, different things that I'm tackling daily within each of our businesses, as well as serve love to our teams in different areas of the world, I think I've done my job.
Yeah, no, I think so too. The hardest part, I think, is that most people don't see that. A lot of people want to be entrepreneurs, or they want to go after a dream or create something beautiful, but they don't see, until you get started, right? You don't see what happens after day three, when the flowers and rainbows are not there anymore, and you're just sitting there. How do I get clients? Like, how do I pay my bills?
Yeah.
Can we just talk about that? Like, how do you What do you want to say to people that want to do these things and so we can be real here?
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question, because this is for one of my clients that I actually had a conversation with before I came here.
Awesome.
And so I'm not going to reveal his name, but he is he's straddling between being an HR executive and starting his business on the side. And he's had this side hustle for a while, and he's an incredible human. But he's also a VP of HR, and that's been cozy. It's been cushiony. It's been all of these things. And he just had his first, and I wouldn't say letdown, but it's his first disappointment, where he asked, well, I did everything that I thought I needed to do. And I said, well, did you do these things? Because you know you're in the grind now. It's not like, you know, you still have your day job, but there are other things that you have to think about. And there are sometimes it's that sweat equity where you're going to put a lot of sweat and you're not going to get much in the beginning, especially when you are at an early stage. You're an early stage entrepreneur where, you know, you got to get those 100 raving fans, right? For those of you listening, it's 100 raving fans or then you get to 1,000 raving fans. But that grunt work is not easy. It's so meaningful because you're adding value. But what I asked him and what I'm going to tell you all now is, are you adding value to people? If it's getting clients, are you on the phone enough? Are you putting yourself out there, whether it's content, whether it's offline workshops? Are you having that visibility so that people can see you, get to know you, get to understand who you are and how you are? Now, when I asked this to him, he said, well, gosh, he's like, the pains of entrepreneurship. And it's true, because, you know, he did maybe steps one and two, but he forgot that it's the long game. It's not the short game. It's not just for right now. It's the long game. It's the long game. And, you know, and what we don't realize is what we do today compounds. And compounds and compounds and compounds. You know, a person you might meet today may not be your client today. But 2 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, they just may be your biggest advocates. Yeah. And I've seen that time and time again.
Yeah, and what I see with entrepreneurs, it's almost like developing yourself. The more you are in tune with who you are, the better you can do the work. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, and, you know, for coaches and consultants, we always say the deeper that you take yourself is how deep you can take your clients.
Yeah. Last question. We're all about sharing, but at the end of the day, we want people to take action. So if they can do one thing to get started on their dreams right after this podcast, what would that be?
Yeah, so I would say if you can, like we did today in this podcast, go into what was your pivotal moment, that turning point, maybe at, you know, at that time, it was the biggest disappointment, a massive failure, a massive setback. Maybe you're going through it right now. I want you to write it down. Write it down. And really what I'm asking you to do is create that failure resume. And why am I saying failure resume? Is because how is it and what is it going to do to lead you to the other side? How has those moments of setback, disappointment, mismanaged expectation, how has it contributed to who you are? And where will you go as a result of that?
Love that, Mira. Bhushan?
Yes, you got it. Yeah. You got it, Peter. Yay!
Thank you so much. If people want to connect with you, work with you, and just experience who you are, like, where can they find you?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of fun on Instagram. That's where I hang out. So at Neetha Bhushan. I'm sure you'll spell it out.
Yeah, I will put a link in the show notes.
Perfect. And if you want to grab the book Emotional Grit, it's just emotionalgrit.
Right here.
.com.
Yeah, I really enjoy reading this book. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure.
And yeah, thanks to everybody that took the time to listen to us and connect with Neetha. And if you want to have more amazing conversations just like this, check us out at ilovesuccess.co. I give away a couple of free chapters of my book. I share all these amazing conversations because I want to help you, and I want to build an amazing community of people helping others. So share this podcast with someone, give us a review, and just help build this community so we can help more people and create a better life. Thank you. Talk soon.